So this sermon is called Walking with God, and it's got a subtitle, and the subtitle is Being Enoch. Anybody here called Enoch? Anybody called Enoch? Are you called Enoch? Zachary Enoch. Excellent. Very good. Middle name. We had a guy that moved to Auckland that was called Enoch as well. So today is called Being Enoch. Let's read the passage. Genesis 5, verse 18 to 24. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. After he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived a total of 962 years. I do not want to live that long. And then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years. He had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. We get just four verses about Enoch. In the book of Hebrews, we get another two verses about Enoch, and they're important because they're verses that are really famous and everybody knows and everybody quotes, and nobody quite realizes the context in which they're written. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who earnestly seek him. We get one more verse on Enoch in the book of Jude. And I speak on behalf of all Bible scholars everywhere that we really wish it wasn't there. Jude 1 verse 14. There is only one chapter in Jude. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about him. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones. Enoch is fascinating. Enoch is enigmatic. We want to know more about this man. We want to know who he was. And because we get such a little amount of information about him, that void has kind of been filled by a lot of people with crazy theories and different ideas. So some people will tell you that Enoch was the person that first built Jerusalem. The Masons will tell you that Enoch was the first Mason. And this is just conjecture spoken into the silence. What we do know about him is that he walked with God, and we're told that twice, and that's really what we're looking at today. These verses tell us more than perhaps we might imagine. So if you're happy, we're going to spend the next half an hour examining them. If you're not happy, we're still going to spend the next half an hour examining them. You just get to be grumpy during that time. Names in Genesis are important, because names in Genesis describe character. So Adam is Adam because he is taken from the Adama, which means soil. So if you want to translate the name Adam into English, one of the good ways that it's been translated is mudman, because he's the person from the earth. And according to my parents, that described the 3 years between 3 and 6 of my life. Officially the mud man. Eve, Hve, is Eve because she is the living one. She is the mother of all life. Cain is Cain because he is the capitalist. The one who acquires, the one who gathers all to himself. Abel is Abel because he is meaningless. It's the same word that Ecclesiastes uses all the time, because he was only there for a short moment and then he was gone, and he left no mark on the earth. Enoch is Hinuk, which probably means dedicated. It sounds, although it's spelt differently, it sounds in Hebrew like the word for educated. So there's kind of an idea of wisdom behind this as well. He is dedicated. That's who Enoch was. Dedicated. Somebody who committed their life to God and to his relationship with God. As Christians, we're called to be dedicated. We're called to be committed to God. We're called that God should be the most important person in our lives, not the wife. You can come second. Not the daughter. You can come third. Not Mangali. You can come 976. We're called to be dedicated. And if that's who you are, if you've dedicated your life to God, then you're on the way to being Enoch. You are officially 1/10 an Enoch. Sound good? So dedication is an act of commitment. It's an act of giving yourself to God. And if you want to walk with God, if you want to be Enoch, then you've got to be dedicated. Here I am, Lord. I give myself to you. All that I am to you. And that's what it means to be a Christian. And those are easy words to say. And they're a little bit more difficult to live out on a daily basis. Because we say we're dedicated to God, and we say that he comes first in our lives. But if you look at our actions, or if you look at the way we spend our time, or if you look at the way we spend our money, then often those things don't prove our dedication. In fact, they do the opposite. Being dedicated to God is a practical thing. It means actually living a different way. The next thing we know about Enoch is that he didn't always walk with God. He wasn't born walking with God, and for the first 65 years of his life, he didn't walk with God. You might have grown up in church. Roughly half of us here probably grew up in church. The other half of us came to faith later in life. You may think that, well, I go to church, so that makes me a Christian. That wasn't the way it was for Enoch. There was a point in his life when he started to walk with God. He probably knew about God before then, but there was a specific time that started, and that time was the birth of his son at the age of 65. And we don't know why that was. Maybe it was because the birth was traumatic. Maybe the baby or the mum nearly didn't survive. Maybe something dire happened and God stepped in and helped. Or maybe, like so many others in Genesis, there was barrenness and the birth was the answer to God's prayer. So maybe out of a crisis or out of a blessing, Enoch starts to walk with God. Whatever it was made him think. Now, being a Christian is a good lifestyle. It's a comfortable lifestyle. Faith in God, faith in the ordinary things of life, is actually the natural way to live. And it's a good way to live. And I imagine that's probably with those kind of morals that Enoch grew up. But there was that time when the reality of God hit home to him. When he had to ditch perhaps what had been the faith of his parents and find his own faith. Or perhaps that moment when he suddenly realized that life was more than just him, and he had to think about God, and he had to think about eternity. And maybe that's you. Maybe you've grown up in church and never realized that the command to be born again is for every single one of us. To realize that it's not enough just to assume, that you actually have to ask Jesus into your life, that you actually have to make him your Lord and Savior, that you actually have to ask him to forgive your sins, that this is something that each one of us does, and usually we do that in a prayer. We say, Jesus, come into my life. From now on, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to obey you. Forgive my sins. Make me pure in your sight. Accept me. But it's not just a prayer. It's an attitude of heart. And it's not just an attitude of heart. It's something that then needs to be seen in our actions. So we ditch our armchair faith, and we adopt a marathon running faith. Anyone run a marathon? One marathon runner here. It is a two and a half marathon runner over here. It is my goal in life. I've set this as a goal in my life, that before I die, I am not going to run a marathon. That's the goal that I've set. For the first time, the reality of God hit home. If that's you, if you've gone through that process, I went through that process. I grew up in a good home. Around the age of 14, I had to make a decision whether I was going to follow God for myself or whether I was just going to hold on to my parents' coattails. Because that's not enough. That won't get you to heaven. It's got to be your own faith. If that's you, you are 2/10 of an Enoch. Congratulations. If that's not you, do it today. There'll be an opportunity at the end of the service to come forward for prayer. Take that opportunity. And however long you've been walking with the Lord, I was saved when I was 4. I made that decision. But like I say, it was my parents' faith. Around the age of 14, I made the decision this was what I was going to do with my life. So I've been a Christian now for 10 years. There is a closer walk with God for you. No matter how long you've walked with him, no matter how long you've served him, there is a closer walk with you. The third thing I want to say about Enoch is he walked with God as a father. He walked with God amongst family obligations. He had other sons and other daughters. We assume he had a wife. Most of us don't see life this way. I'd like to do the Enoch thing, but I got to work 9 to 5. I'd like to do the Enoch thing, but I've got kids. I've got a wife. I've got a husband. I've got a van to clean because it's a mess. Any volunteers? I'd like to walk with God, but Netflix is just so interesting. And Enoch says, that's just an excuse. And if you're looking for an excuse, you'll always find an excuse. So Enoch walked with God amongst his other responsibilities. We live in the real world. We don't get the choice of being a hermit and withdrawing to some sort of like room by ourselves in a monastery and where it's just us and Jesus. We live in real life. And that's the path that we have to walk. It's often an uphill path. It's often a difficult path. It's often a path that will want to trip you up. But If you're waiting for one of those moments when everything else clears out of the way so that you can concentrate fully on God, it is never going to happen. So in your life, you have to figure out, with all your responsibilities and all the things that you've got to do, how it is that you're going to walk with God. And there's a trick to doing this. Because what you can do is you can segmentize out your life. Right, so this time is family time. This time is work time. This time is God time. Now, that can be helpful, but it kind of misses the point. What you have to do is you have to put God at the center. You have to be dedicated to God. And then you have to see how everything else fits around that. So think of it like a wheel. And all of the different responsibilities in your life are the spokes of the wheel. But the hub is Christ Jesus. Everything else revolves around him. So it's not like you stop being a Christian when you're at work. Christ has to show through in your work ethic, in the way that you behave to other people. It's not like you can ignore Christ when you're doing the family thing, because actually doing the family thing well is worshiping Christ. Right? Christ is at the center, and he has to bleed out into everything else that we do. If you can do that, you're 3/10 an Enoch. Oh, I'm running out of time. I thought this was going to be a short sermon. The next thing we know about Enoch is that he didn't die. God took him. So if God takes you, that makes you a full Enoch. He's actually one of only two people in the Bible that got raptured. Enoch and Elijah didn't face death. Even Jesus faced death. And Enoch kind of reminds us that our goal is not death. Our goal is to be with Christ. I love that old hymn, When Peace Like a River. It's got a great line in it. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. And we don't have our eyes on death. We have our eyes on eternal life. And when you fix your eyes on eternal life, when you're waiting for that trumpet call, when you're waiting for Christ's return, when you know that this life is only the prelude to what's going on in God's presence, that's the Enoch way of living. Eye on the future. And if you can do that, you are 4/10 an Enoch. The irony of this is that of all the people that lived at that time, Enoch has the shortest lifestyle time. His son has the longest. 65 years before he has a child, 300 years after that before God takes him. That makes what? 'I have made a decision that I am no longer going to take the mickey out of Boa's inability to do maths. So Boa, just saying that. That wasn't me, that was Grant. 365. Do you recognize that number? 365 is a year, it's a solar year. Now they had a lunar calendar, but they also used a solar calendar. They knew there were 365 days in the year. So according to Westerman, who's a reasonably famous Bible scholar, what it's saying is that he had a complete life. So he had a whole life. He did everything he needed to do in that short time. And I really like that, because if you've actually got your eyes on eternity, you're going to live now better. If your eyes are focused on the world around you and making sure you get everything done that you want to get done and that you fail to run a marathon, you're actually going to miss out. So fixing your eyes on Christ actually gives you the full life. I think that's really neat. So walking with God means walking here and now. But walking with God also means fitting your life for eternity. And both of those have to blend together. It tells us in Hebrews that he pleased God. And walking with God means pleasing God. For me, this is really, really important, because this is a line that comes up all over the Bible, you know, that talks about us pleasing God. And I want my life to please God. I want my life to please my wife. That's always nice. I quite like to please you guys too. But really, I want to please God. I want the things that I do to bring joy to him. And when I do that, I'm walking the Enoch walk. I'm being like Enoch. It makes me 5/10 halfway to being Enoch. And then it tells us in Hebrews that he lived by faith. And Paul will tell us that that's who we are. We live by faith. We don't live by sight. We believe God. We trust God. We trust God with our future. We make a decision that we're going to obey him even when it hurts. And we trust that he will see us through. We trust that prayer will bring answers. We trust that when we put his kingdom first, he will look after our kingdom. And we live by faith. And when we live by faith, that makes us 6/10 an Enoch. Now we get to the fun part. There are some things in the Bible that are not obvious. And the Bible, particularly Genesis, is not just a bunch of stories thrown together at random. It's a very cleverly crafted book. So, Enoch walked with God. Have you heard that phrase anywhere else in Genesis? Have we already read that phrase as we get to chapter 5 in Genesis? Well, yes, we have. Because we discover that God walked with Adam, the mud man, in the cool of the day, literally the spirit of the day, the evening when the wind comes up. And God stopped walking with Adam. God stopped walking with Adam because Adam made a decision that he was going to go his own way. That's what eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is all about. It's not just an act of disobedience, it's an act of independence. It's Adam saying, actually, God, I don't want to keep your commands. I don't want you to control my life and tell me what I should do. I'm going to make those decisions for myself. Thank you very much. The day that he eats the fruit is his moral and spiritual independence day. And as a result of that, we live in a fallen world. What is remarkable here is that in that fallen world, Enoch can walk with God. Doesn't need a perfect world. I don't want you to think about the world around you. There are things in it that I really like, and there are things in it I really do not like. There are things that don't fit the morals of the Bible. And it's very easy to say, you know, how can you serve God in a world like this? Well, actually, that's why the world is like this, because it's actually in this world the only kind of world that you can serve God, where faith really can shine. God created this world for a reason when he could have created 101 other worlds. That passage in Jude reminds us that Enoch is the seventh from Adam. And that is surprisingly important. Because in Genesis, one of the literary techniques it uses is that everybody has what's called a foil, i.e. characters in Genesis never stand by themselves. They always come in pairs. So there's Abraham and there's Lot. There's Sarah and there's Hagar. There's Isaac and there's Ishmael. There's Tamar and there's Potiphar's wife. There's Judah and there's Joseph. Always pairs. Well, Enoch has a pair. And his name is Lemach. And Lemach is the seventh from Adam in the generation of Cain. And he's the ultimate evil. He's invents polygamy, which is having more than one wife. And he kills a young man, just like Cain has killed Abel. He kills a young man for, in the Hebrew word is pagah, for knocking him, for just bumping into him. He just kills him. And he boasts about it to his wives. He says, if Cain is avenged 7 times, then Lamech 77 times. He glories in his evil. And it's like in this fallen world, these are the two extremes. You've got Lamech who goes with the world and who does everything he wants and who ends up as the ultimate evil. And you've got Enoch who takes another path and decides that he will walk with God. Now you'll notice the difference, because when Adam walked with God, it wasn't Adam that walked with God, it was God that walked with Adam. So God took the initiative. But the world falls, and it's Enoch that must take the initiative. He must walk with God. He must make that choice. That's the choice that each one of us has to make. Hi, Azaria. Did you want a Hebrew lesson? Too bad, you're going to get one. Right, the verb to walk here, in Hebrew, the word to walk is holech, and it can mean a whole bunch of different things, just like the English walk can. But the verb here is the same root in a different form, and it's hit holech, and it means to walk for yourself, to make the choice to walk. Something that you take upon yourself, something that you do for yourself, not something that somebody else does for you. And that's the choice that we have to make. I'm going to walk with God. Though none go with me, I'm going to walk with him. Even though my family reject me, I'm going to walk with him. And that's the calling on our lives. And if you can do that, you are 7/10 an Enoch. But that verb, hit halech, has another meaning in Hebrew. Because it's a word that's often used of a loyal servant. And you've got this idea here that Enoch is not just walking with God, he's walking with God as a servant. And if you can figure out in your life how you're going to serve God, that makes you 8/10 an Enoch. Guess how far we've got to go in the sermon? It's kind of nice, isn't it? You know where you're going. He was a loyal servant. And that's the calling on my life too. I want to find ways to serve God. I want to use the abilities that I've got to serve God. And the way that Enoch served God, I don't know how Enoch served God. I just know that he did. And you've got to figure out for yourself in your life, with the different responsibilities that you've got and the different talents that you've got, how it is that you're going to serve God. And if you can do that, you will be 8/10 an Enoch. Walk before me and be blameless, God says to Abraham. So what does it mean to walk with God? It means to devote yourself. It means to obey. It means to come close. And when you come close to God, that makes you 9/10 an Enoch. When I follow Christ, I'm going where he's going. I'm living like he's living. And that means being open to God. That means walking in the light as he is in the light. That means dealing with sin when I see it. That means listening to what God wants. It means in each situation that I face, Lord, show me who I am. Lord, the areas where I'm wrong, help me to change. Help me to do what you want me to do. Lord, does my life actually please you? And it's kind of an introspective thing. Last point. Hopefully, this is part of what Darlene discovered this week. there's a wannabe monk. He wasn't even a proper monk. He just worked in the kitchen. He was just one of those. And 17th century. He wrote a very famous book called Practicing the Presence of God. Actually, he didn't write a book. He just wrote letters to a friend that got put into a book. And basically what he described is what spirituality meant for him. And it kind of went like this. Whatever it is that I'm doing now, Lord, help me to do it better. Lord, help me to include you in what I'm doing. And that's actually a really good way to live. That's how you walk with God. And for me, that means when I walk down the road and I see a grumpy person, not any of you, I pray, Lord, I don't know what that person is going through today, but be with them. If they know you, bring blessing into their life. If they don't know you, Lord, draw them close to you. For me, that's what that means. It means that when I'm making stupid lemon slices for ladies' meetings, life gave me lemonade, so I made lemons. Lord, help me to do this right. Help me to see how to do this in a way that's actually going to look good. You can judge tonight whether I succeeded or failed. It means that I'm actually going to include God in everything that I do in my life. And if you can live that way, if you can make that decision, I think that's what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And I'm going to follow Christ because that's what it means to walk with him. I'm going to do what he did. I'm not only going to do what he did, I'm going to do what he did the way that he did it. I'm going to show love and compassion. And if we can do that, you get to be the full Enoch. Lord, this is kind of a neat goal to set. 10 things that we need to do. Lord, help us to be faithful. Not looking to be taken from this life. Not until the moment that you choose for me. But Lord, until that moment, I want to live my life in dedication to you. I want to live it in service to you, in pleasing you. I want to live it in faith. I want to please you by living by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. There'll be people at the front here to pray for you, and have an awesome day. We will see you tonight, because I am one of three men that are allowed here tonight.